Hands it off.
Ooh.
They pulled it out and actually hit Farr on the slant.
Yep.
And Farr awkwardly going to the ground there on that tackle.
So WRJN in Racine and WZTI in Greenfield.
Case going quick here. It's a handoff to Malachi Echols, and he's to the outside across the 30.
Nice job by Echols on that. Plenty of time left. 1:42 to go. So they'll move the chains, and then he'll start that clock up. He did. He chops it in. I think the chain gang, they gotta move a little quicker. That time he threw it into the flat, and not much there, if anything.
Yeah, he hit Liggins there. I think he lost 2 yards on the play.
No, it looks like both teams have 2 timeouts remaining here. So,
all right, 1:13 and counting in our first half. 14-0, Case with the lead. LaPerry in the gun. He's got wideouts to his right and left. Throws complete.
Tolan Johnson on the reception.
They're going to give him the first down.
Yep.
So that'll stop the clock for a moment here.
Yep, and he's started it right back up. And that handoff went nowhere.
Those Echols.
On Echols.
Now we're getting an Eagle timeout.
With 32 seconds to go. Again, we'll be coming to you probably more than likely from Pritchard Park next week for a level 2 game.
So looking at the stats, kicker Giovanni Gonzalez has a long this year.
As the year winds down, your crew deserves a team-building event that's more than just chit-chat in a meeting room. It's always game time at X-Golf Kenosha, the perfect spot for private parties, corporate outings, and fundraisers that actually bring people together. Swing away with state-of-the-art golf simulators, kick back with cold drinks, enjoy great food, and soak in a vibe that keeps the good times rolling, rain or shine. Tee up your next event at xgolfkenosha.com or stop by the lounge off Highway 50 just west of Green Bay Road.
Fall has arrived, and Ferraro's serves up the flavors to kick off the season the right way. For over 50 years, Ferraro's has been the local go-to for classic pizzas, golden fried chicken, hot sandwiches, and calzones. This October, dig into the Bratwurst Pizza, loaded with bratwurst, a beer cheese base, sauerkraut, red onions, cheddar cheese, and topped with a savory brown mustard drizzle. It's sure to satisfy your lunch or dinner craving. Slide on by for the best pizza pie at Ferraro's, Meacham Road, just north of Taylor Avenue.
Tonight it's a level 1 game between the Bradford Red Devils, the number 5 seed, versus the Case Eagles, the number 4 seed. Last week, Case defeated Bradford in the regular season finale, 31-20. The Red Devils are led by Noberto Rosales, who has completed 62 of 139 passes for 770 yards and 8 TDs. Their leading rusher is Garari Barnes, who has rushed 81 times for 308 yards and 5 TDs. Leading pass catcher is Lorenz Pratt, who has caught 32 passes for 535 yards and 3 TDs. The Eagles, once again tonight, will be led by Braden Lapari, who has completed 64 of 107 passes for 1,131 yards and 12 scores. Leading ground gainer is Malachi Echols with 90 carries for 755 yards and 7 TDs. Leading pass catcher is Michael Farr with 35 receptions for 606 yards and 7 TDs. Keys to the game as I see it. First for the Red Devils, they have to control the time of possession to have a shot in this game. They must get Barnes 15 to 20 touches to have long sustained drives, and they must try to contain Case runners inside on the runs. Keys to the game for the Eagles: Lapari must run a balanced offense to keep the Red Devils honest. Far could be a key to the Eagles winning.
Dick, we're down here on the field now. Coach Graham, congrats on making the again to the playoffs. 3 out of the 4 years here under your tenure as head coach. You guys have been able to get in, and that's a huge thing for building the program. You guys played a tight one last week with Bradford. Till that final touchdown in the fourth quarter there, obviously, you're able to extend the lead to 11. What do the Case Eagles need to do tonight to become victorious over Bradford?
We need to come out hot. You know, I thought we started a little slow defensively last week. Obviously, offensively, it's going to be big to take care of the football. Defensively, I told them, you know, we got to do the simple things tonight. We got to do the boring things tonight. We got to make sure that we're doing our job, and we'll be just fine.
Hey, you guys started the year with the shutout victory over Cedarburg. You lose two in a row to two tough teams, and then you go on a six-game winning streak to go right into the playoffs. What has the message been since that loss to Franklin, and what keeps the head on the shoulders coming into a matchup here tonight?
You know, we had to get back to playing football the way we play football. We had to get back to having fun. We had to get, you know, the music back to practices. We had to get back going, and we had to get after it. And I thought that was big. You know, our boys have the most fun when they're smiling. You know, they play best when they're smiling. And, you know, at times I think that Sussex and Franklin games, we got so carried away and so pumped up that I think we got away from us. And it's been big to get back to it. The biggest thing I'm stressing to them is this week is that, hey, Bradford's going to come back. This may be the same team we've seen last week, but you better believe they're going to make some adjustments. They're going to make some changes. These seniors aren't going to go out easy, so it's going to be a hell of a battle tonight.
Yeah, that was Coach Anton Graham, head coach of the Case Eagles. Back to the boys in the booth.
Thanks, Dylan. So we'll go through those keys to the game once again for the Eagles. Lapari must run a balanced offense to keep the Red Devils honest. Farr could be a key to the Eagles winning with some downfield catches. And the Eagles' defensive line must try for containment on the Red Devil rushers. And with that, I'll bring in Dan to get a few comments from him. Welcome back to the broadcast tonight, Dan.
Well, thanks for having me back. Yeah, this is the interesting one because it's
Crew's got to power through the postseason. Fuel up right now at Studebaker's Fuel and Food. From your favorite energy drinks, sodas, and adult beverages to a massive lineup of snacks, Studebaker's has everything you need to crush those game day cravings. Need it in a flash? Hit the lightning fast drive-thru and stock up without ever leaving your car. Studebaker's Fuel and Food, the all-stars of selection, service, and convenience. Find them at the corner of 31 and Spring in Racine.
Wait for 2 minutes. You're listening to high school playoff football on DG Sports.
Thanks, Dick. At this time, I'd like to take a moment to recognize our amazing sponsors and patrons who make it possible for us here at DG Sports to bring you these games. Tonight's game brought to you by Lings on Lathrop, Sitco and Convenience Store in Racine, Advanced Foot and Ankle of Wisconsin, Gordy Boucher, Lincoln and West Dallas, Financial Service Group in Racine, Rocky Rococo's Racine, Frater and the Medical College of Wisconsin Cancer Network, Roma Lodge Banquet and Conference Facility, Docks on the Fox in Waterford, Habish Habish and Rotier, Frank DeCristo of Keller Williams Thrive, Caledonia, Racine Lutheran High School. Our patrons, Chris Gorman, Gary Schonert, Tim Owens, The Trophy Shop, Mike Paczynski, Jason Traylor, Casey Robbins, Jason Atanasoff, Greg Owens,
Ryan Thompson, Waterford Basketball, and the Johnson Park Golf Course in Racine. Once again, you're listening tonight to Dick Graceffa, Dylan Dooley, and Dan Barwick, streaming live and subscription-free coverage right here on DG Sports. Once again, tonight's a varsity playoff football game between the visiting Bradford Red Devils and the Racine Case Eagles. You can listen live or hear replay anywhere, anytime at dgsports.mixler.com. You can follow us there or on the free Mixler app to access our stream or to live chat with us when able to throughout the games. Once again, high school football on DG Sports.
All right, back here at halftime where our score is Case 14, Kenosha Bradford 0. And again, the winner of this game gets the winner of Muskego and Madison Weston. I believe we had an update.
Yeah, Muskego was running away with that one.
Okay.
So that, you know, totally expected, but.
So that'll be a tough road for if the Case Eagles hold on here. And again, Union Grove, I believe they went in at halftime ahead, 10-9. They're going to get the winner of Nicolay and Holman. You would guess it'll be Holman. In Division III, we got the two different teams. Burlington is at New Berlin Eisenhower. And I think they were tied, Dan, the last time you gave a score update.
Yeah, it was right before halftime, so.
And the winner of that game will get the winner of Wausau East and the number two seed, Mount Horeb, Barneveld. And then we also have Waterford and Reedsburg, and Dan and Dylan both been reporting on that one. Reedsburg running away with it, so Waterford season probably will be ending tonight. And then again, as Dylan mentioned, we don't get many updates from St. Catharines fans, so we're assuming they'll win, and they'll play the winner of Edgerton and Lake Mills. And St. Catharines would host that game. And Lutheran, I think we had gotten a score. They were up 14-0 over MAS, Milwaukee Academy of Science, the last time.
Yeah, that was right at the end of the first quarter. I will
okay
check in again there and see what's going on.
All right. And they'll get the winner of New Glarus and Clinton in that game if Lutheran holds on. That'll be a home game for Racine Lutheran. And that's all of our local teams.
Yep, so looks like there's about 30 seconds left before half. And Racine Lutheran is up 21-0.
Okay. So that's good. And Coach Krause, I want to say he did feel somewhat confident today when I talked to him. But he corrected me, Dan. I had them a game past the second one where they would be playing Lake Country, because they're going to play Lake Country Lutheran at some point if they both keep winning. And I think it's in the level three game it would be. Just check here.
No, that would have to be level four because they're both one seeds, I believe.
No, they're a two-seed, Racine Lutheran.
Oh, Lutheran, sorry, I was thinking of St. Cat's for a second. Yeah, you're right.
Lake Country
has the one seed there because they're playing, I think, Keele, I think it is. Tonight.
Right, yep, you are correct. So, yeah, he said that would be the level three game.
I never know what division Racine Lutheran is in because they've bounced all over the place over the years.
So do we have some stats to give real quickly before we get back into these tournament scores, playoff scores?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dan.
So let's see. For Case, we got Braden Lepari is 10 of 15 for 95 yards with a touchdown and interception and two rushes for 18 yards. Then we got Malachi Eccles. He has five carries for 19 yards and one catch for five. Anthony Liggins has three rushes for 12 yards, two catches for three. Tolan Johnson has two catches for 18. Was it Morrell Jackson? He had those two rushes late in the half. He's got 44 yards on those and a catch for 5 yards. Michael Farr, three catches for 26 yards, and then Zach DeBaker had the big one for 38 yards and a touchdown. For Bradford, Gahari Barnes is kind of hurt by that one bad shotgun snap that he fell on. It's kind of hurt his stats a little bit. He's got 1 yard on nine carries, but if you take that one out, he'd be around 20 yards. Mm-hmm. So the sledding's been tough, but, you know, Bradford, they've been looking to the air a lot more after kind of starting off on the ground. And we got, Noberto Rosales, 6 of 14 for 78 with an interception. And then you've got Marvin Jones has two catches for 21 yards. Brandon Walton, 1 for 15. And Lorenz Pratt is their leading receiver with three catches for 42 yards.
Okay. Well, thank you for those. Let's take a little time now, this panel of three of our six teams. What team, if it's going to be a surprise to anybody, what team would you say will probably go the furthest of the six teams in our area that we're covering? I'll start with Dylan. I think I know what his answer will be.
Sorry, Dan. Definitely it would be St. Catharines, I'd say, as the number one opportunity to get back to the state finals in a game that we covered right here on DG Sports last year. Racine Lutheran, depending on how things go, they truly have a chance to make it to level four, close to a state championship. We'll see how the cards fall that way. But they got a nice two seed, and we'll see what happens with them.
All right, Dan, you're the expert of the three of us. You know the teams inside and out.
Well,
so
I tend to agree with Dylan there. I think obviously just the way everything is set up, St. Cat's has the best chance of making a run. And as you mentioned, you know, the chance is there for Racine Lutheran to surprise. Their skill position talent is very good.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of suffer from, and it's kind of weird because, you know, historically they've always had a great running attack. You know, they've had guys over the years like Eric Ordle and Tyler Tenner.
Yep.
And who ran for oodles of yards. Now, this year they're much more, and with this group that they've had coming through, much more of a spread, get it outside and go kind of team. They kind of have to do that. I mean, those teams they had in the past also had some road grader types on the offensive line. This year they're a lot smaller on the offensive line. And, you know, they played Kewaunee, I think it was, in week one. And Kewaunee's a pretty good team, and they won that
one.
They
won that one, yeah.
I think it was Contreras had a walk-off field goal, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
And that was, if you look at the offensive stats of the game, it almost looked like an Arena Football League game. And I think that's unfortunately kind of how Racine Lutheran has to win this year. They've got to outscore teams and win shootouts.
Yeah.
Good teams, anyway. But, yeah, those are probably the two. I mean, Case is interesting. It's if they were playing anyone other than Muskego potentially in the next round, it's just their defense is good enough, and they've got enough big playability on offense to scare teams and certainly win games. It's just, you know, you're in this part of the state where if, you know, you don't get the one seed, the one seeds are likely going to be Muskego, Franklin, or Arrowhead.
Yep.
Or Sussex, maybe, and those are always going to be tough, you know, as Case saw with Sussex earlier this year. And then, you know, the Southern Lakes teams, I mean, Union Grove is got a chance if they can get by Waukesha West tonight. There's winnable games beyond them. Obviously, Waterford was in a tough spot. And,
Yeah.
You know, Reedsburg is, like I said, they're a tough team. They run that wishbone, and if you lose those battles up front, which they have, I mean, that's the Mikanowicz kid's the fullback, so he's going up the middle and just ripping off runs. So, you know, it's kind of, like I said, transition year for Waterford. So, and then Burlington, if they can get by Eisenhower, I mean, they have enough talent to give teams trouble. I just don't know if it's good enough to beat the teams that are ahead of them.
So we get to Dick, and I'll tell you that it's Racine St. Catharines and Racine Lutheran is my predictions to go the furthest. And again, Lutheran, and I think Dan would agree with this, they're actually a year away from being really good. They'll have most of their team back next year. I believe Coach Krause told me they only lose like four players from this team.
Yeah, their roster build has been crazy the last couple of years. They've had a couple back-to-back classes of just big numbers in the freshman levels, and they've kind of needed it because the last couple of years, I think last year they graduated maybe two or three seniors. I think this year they're only graduating two or three,
yep.
And last year they only had like two juniors. So,
and again, they get all the key players back at the skill positions next year.
And a lot of those kids are going to be four-year starters, which is unheard of. I mean, even at the small school level.
So let me ask you this, Dan, see if you know. So if Lake Country, if they were to advance all the way and go and win state, do they have to go back up in three? Or, no, they're in five now. Would they have to go back up into four?
I don't believe so, because last year I think they got knocked out by Stratford in level two.
Okay.
And I think...
Well, it's like a three-year rule, right?
Where window, like, yeah, and I don't think, because they're...
Okay, but the Angels...
Level four a couple of times, but...
But St. Catharines, depending on how far they go, they may have to go up, right?
Yeah, I can look this up. Someone's got it right now, but I do believe for sure if they get back to Camp Randall.
Okay, yeah.
If they get knocked on level four, they might be okay. I got to look again. I always forget how much the points are worth. And
I think you were right with what you just said. I think if they get to level four... They got to go up next year. Because the state, winning the state title, that's where obviously you accrued the most points, and you don't have to get many more to be bumped up to a level, or a division, I should say.
We had mentioned a team making a far drive to Rice Lake. Well, they just took down Kakana by a score of 32-20, so...
Well, if you think Kakana has a long drive to Rice Lake, if Tosa East beats Milwaukee King tonight, Tosa East has to go to Rice Lake next week.
Oh, yeah.
it's maybe the one downside, if you want to call it that, of the new Matrix, is you do get some wild rides. Because Rice Lake, that's at least 5 hours from the Milwaukee area. So that might be a Saturday game.
they might have started at 6 o'clock if they're already done on that one.
Yeah, I think they did. And if they... If they do play Friday next week, I wouldn't be surprised if it was an early kickoff as well.
Yeah.
Actually, looking at this, someone who tracks this stuff for us, it would take for St. Cats to get bumped up next year is if they make it to level four.
Okay, yeah. So
they will accumulate enough points for the state semifinal.
Yeah, Dylan and I had, someone told us or we read it somewhere. So, and Coach Miller, Dan, he's well aware of that, but he would gladly go up.
And you were talking about Lake Country Lutheran. Yeah, they would need to win the gold ball to get moved up.
Okay. That's what I thought on them, too. So, and they have a good – they have a chance that they can do that this year. All right, both teams are taking their mandatory stretching, and then we'll get this third quarter underway. 14-0 is our score. Case with the lead. And again, we'll hopefully be bringing you a level two game next week. We're guessing we'll be at Pritchard Park. We just don't know if St. Catharines and Racine Lutheran both win. Is it a coin flip who plays at Horlick, who plays at Pritchard? According to Coach Krause, he thought they would be staying at Horlick. So then it would be St. Catharines.
And my guess is they would want to keep the consistency.
Yeah. And again, I know Dylan and I have talked to Coach Miller several times. He loves playing at Pritchard too. He said they're both fast tracks, and that's what the Angels are known for, their speed. So
yeah, so the, as we were talking about with Waterford, so that game is, it's Reedsburg 35, Waterford 10 at halftime. And, okay. And Sean Davis here was covering the game for the local paper there in Reedsburg. He unofficially has Will McConowitz with 366 yards and 5 touchdowns on 17 carries for Reedsburg.
Well, that was, I don't know if you guys remember, last year they played Whitnall in the playoffs, and they rushed for 760 yards, yeah. Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they didn't throw a single pass. Yep. And in that game, Whitnall, they threw for, like, almost 600 yards. It was just like it was like an arena football league
yeah.
game.
It's exciting to hear that kind of stuff that these high school players, it's remarkable what they can do. So, and again, Dylan and I, we have experience taking that ride to Madison, so it would be nice again to go up there. But again, I think we mentioned it last week, Dan. We talked about it a little bit that the road for the Angels is, it's not going to be that easy this year to get there.
I know, and it's going to be starting next week with that level two game. But, you know, if they get, I mean, either Evansville or Lake Mills, but especially Lake Mills, because that's, there's some playoff familiarity between those two teams, but it's also two teams that I think match up pretty similarly with what they want to do.
Well, that's interesting. That'll be a tagline if that's the game that we end up doing, but I think you make a good point. I think you make a good point, Dan, that they'll want to keep consistency. So, you know, St. Catharines is playing at Pritchard tonight. They'll want to play there again next week.
Dick, we talk about the dominance of the Classic 8, how good the Classic 8 is. Well, Muskego's continuing that tonight. Whoever wins this one will play them. It's 50-3 at halftime there.
Wow. Running clock coming.
Arrowhead, they're up 41-6 over Wausau West. They're at halftime, so two Classic 8 teams putting up 40-plus in the first half. And Maguanago, who's playing another Classic 8 team in Oconomowoc this week, they're up 17-0 in the third quarter. So Classic 8 just showing why they're touted as the best conference in the state year after year, just dominating these week one matchups.
And Pewaukee's up 14-3 on Badger Conference champion Sauk Prairie. So
they're a two-win team, I believe, in Pewaukee. So
well, yeah, two conference wins, and then they won their two non-conference games. But yeah, that was the thing everyone was talking about. Was Pewaukee, as long as they get in the playoffs, they're going to be set up for a good run, just because
who they play all year.
They're battle tested.
Yeah.
They're facing teams that are.
All right, so Gonzalez is going to kick off for the Eagles, and then we'll get this third quarter underway. 14-0 is our score. Case with the lead. Bradford won the toss and deferred, so they're going to get the ball.
Sorry, Dick. Speaking of 14-0, Badgers scoring was shut down by Oak Creek. It was only 14-0 at the half between Badger and Oak Creek.
Oh, wow.
And that included three interceptions for Bradford, or Badger, excuse me.
Wow.
And,
okay.
If that Racine Lutheran score holds and they hold on to win, they will play the winner of New Glarus and Clinton, and right now New Glarus is up 22-0 at the break.
Okay. All right, so here's our boot. It's a pooch kick. And boy, Case comes out loaded for bear on that coverage of that kickoff.
Yeah, it was Gahari Barnes back there, and he kind of dropped the kick and picked it up, and he took it about a step, and that was pretty much all he got.
All right, so Rosales will bring him out for the Red Devils. 14-0, they're down.
We do have an interesting D1 score here involving one of the one seeds.
Okay.
Chippewa Falls is beating Wanakee 14-7 at halftime.
Oh, okay. All right, Rosales in the gun. He's got wideouts to the right and the left. Hands it off. And not much there. for Barnes.
A lot of people touted Wanake all the way to the state championship game. So that would be interesting or crazy, if you will, if they fall in round one.
Yeah. Did kind of wonder about their strength of schedule. And, you know, they're so good all the time, you kind of just take it for granted. But that Chippewa Falls team is pretty good this year. They're pretty physical, and they went through a very tough Big Rivers conference. So.
All right, so Rosales will bring him out once again. He's got wideouts to the right and the left. Oh, it goes over his head, the snap. And down to the four. He fields it at the four-yard line, recovers it.
Yeah. That was Aiden Wallen tracking down Rosales as he went to recover the ball.
So, boy, they just can't get anything going.
Yeah, they've shot themselves in the foot a few times tonight.
And all right, we're under 11 to play now already in the third quarter. 10-20 in counting. Rosales brings him out third and a mile, they say. Goes back to pass. Throws it here. I think he caught it. And that's Walton with the reception, but it's going to bring up fourth down. And they'll have to punt it away. It'll be Centelli to punt it away.
Yeah, other than maybe a couple of throws where the Bradford receiver was behind the defense, the Case has given them nothing tonight.
Nope. So credit that Case defense.
They're swarming around. They're winning the battles up front on the runs and the quick hitting passes. They're tackling the guys pretty quickly. So, you know, Bradford just cannot string positive plays together, and that's...
He's at the one-yard line to punt it away.
So that's what's leading all these punts.
And it's a high punt called for a fair catch. Was far. So good field position for the Eagles to start with 9:22 to go in our third quarter. They'll start at the 34-yard line of Bradford.
Dick, to start the second half, Union Grove took 9 minutes off the clock, and they go and find the end zone on a 5-yard run thanks to Quinton Martinez. They're up 15-10 over Waukesha West.
Okay. Again, they'll be on the road, though, next week if they win. LaPerry in the gun, wideouts right and left. Goes back to pass, throws, incomplete.
Tolan Johnson, the intended receiver there.
Man, he had some space, but Parry's throw was low.
So to bring up second down, stops the clock with 9:19 to go in our third quarter. 14-0. Case still pitching that shutout. LaPerry in the gun. Hands it off in a nice hole there for Eccles.
Yeah, it looked like Eccles was going to go for a little more there.
He did.
And Zacchaeus Ross, our mentioned him a few times today for Bradford, came up and hit him, and Eccles tried to spun off, and he said no and took him to the ground.
All right, we go under 9 minutes to play in our third quarter. The Eagles on the move. Third and five at the 29-yard line. Of Bradford, got to believe it's four down territory here for the Eagles. Wideouts right and left for LaPerry. Back to pass, throws.
Boom.
And knocked down.
A defensive lineman there for Bradford just sticking a big paw up in the air. Yep. I believe it was Carson Royal, a senior defensive lineman, able to just get a fingertip or two on it and knock that one down as they had an open receiver downfield.
Yeah, it caromed off to the side, and Israel Washington almost was able to corral it before it hit the ground. But
so it brings up Fourth down. LaPerry had wideouts both ways.
Pass got deflected again. And it was going for Farr. It almost got to Farr, so still at the end, but so falls incomplete.
So the Bradford Red Devils will take over on downs with 8:33 to go in our third quarter. Still 14-0. This game is not by any means over yet.
Yeah, as long as Bradford keeps it at two scores, they got a shot. It's just they've got to find a way to string some positive plays together on offense.
Rosales will bring him out now. See what he can do. He's got wideouts to his right and left. Empty backfield. And the man coming around the end there.
It was Corbin Burrell Warfield, I believe.
Right. Burrell Warfield.
So I think it's the second time they've run that play where he comes and takes it kind of on a jet sweep kind of action.
So we'll close in on 8 minutes to go.
But again, you know, all Bradford got there was 2 yards.
All right, Rosales rolls out. Still has it, now throws, complete to Jones. But again.
Yeah, there, Case's defense was right there. I think it was no gain. I think that was Nasai Nelson, I believe, who came up and hit Jones as soon as he caught it.
So down to 7:30 to go and counting in our third quarter. Brings up 3rd and 7. And again, Bradford taking their time, trying to keep this manageable, this deficit. Rosales in the gun. Multiple wideouts both ways. Now he gets flushed out of there, and they're coming for him. And he goes out of bounds. I don't think he ever threw it to anybody.
No, he did, and it ended up kind of hitting the ground in between his two receivers. I couldn't tell who he was intending it for, or he was just throwing it away.
So it brings up 4th down. 4th and 7.
Yep, and that's been the story of the game.
Yep.
Bradford gets the ball and just can't do anything with it, can't even move the chains.
Clock stopped with 6:55 to go. So Centelli is back to punt it away. And Farr is back, not real deep. But they sure got Centelli back deep to punt this away.
Yeah, Farr's only 25 yards from the line of scrimmage.
Falls for a fair catch, so... Oh, a little shove there.
Yeah, I don't think it was enough to get it over the threshold there. I do finally have a St. Cat's scoring update. It's 40-0 at halftime, and it's now 47-0 late in the third quarter.
Well, they have a running clock there for the rest of the game.
It said there was a stream available, but I logged in, looked at the app, and there was nothing there, unfortunately.
Okay. All right.
Waterford coming back with a little bit of life. It's now 35-17.
Okay.
With 6 minutes to go in the third quarter there in Reedsburg.
All right. LaPerry brings him out. He's got wideouts to the right and his left. He goes back to pass the southpaw. Just dumps it in the flat. Up the side, 40, 30. Still on his feet. Comes back. Down to the 20 and goes out of bounds. And that's Liggins for a big
20-yard gain.
No, was that actually Eccles?
It was Liggins there, yep.
It was Liggins.
It's actually about a 35-yard gain.
You want to say it or should I about the numbers? They're tough. Some
yeah, and the two, Liggins and Eccles, they're both number one and number two, and they look very close when they're scrunched up behind the jersey.
Yeah, the wrinkle. All right, LaPerry brings them out. He's got them tucked in. Who almost loses it, now throws it. And nobody's home except the Bradford Red Devil defender.
Yeah, he was looking for Michael Farr there, but the coverage is pretty good.
Yep, so it'll stop the clock with 6:33 to go in our third quarter. Stop the clock. So second and 10 at the 23. They want to punch this one in before this third quarter ends.
You know, that's Parry's in the pistol, and he's got Morrell Jackson behind him.
Goes back to pass again. Airs it out. And it's caught. It's caught for a touchdown.
Yep. They went right back to the same play as they ran previously, and this time Farr got beyond the defender and was
and
able
it's
to
Michael Farr
catch it in the end zone.
To make it 20 to nothing. So, extra point attempt to come. And the Case Eagles trying to put this one away.
It was about a 22-yard pitch and catch between Braden LaPari and Michael Farr.
So that was all done with 6:26 to go in our third quarter. There's a snap. The kick is up.
I believe
and
it was
good.
It looked like it was blocked by the defensive end, but it still found
it got through.
Yeah, found its way through there. What a kooky way to end the play there.
So with 6:26 to go in our third quarter, it's now Case 21, Kenosha Bradford 0. At least so far, a little bit different than last week.
Oak Creek looking to play spoiler here tonight, Dick. They're coming back. It's 14-7. And Burlington has since taken the lead over Eisenhower 20-14.
Okay.
So, a little bit, I'd say a lot of surprise there with that Oak Creek Badger score, with it only being 14-7.
Yeah.
Badger lead, and impressive by Burlington to come back. It's 20-14 over Eisenhower.
Yeah, Oak Creek is a team that's got a lot of talent, actually. It's just they've kind of struggled to put it together this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that could be potentially be a dangerous matchup for Badger.
Yeah. And Burlington, we know if they hold on, Dylan, and win, well, they're on the road the rest of the way. I mean, they were for this game, and they will continue to be.
Barring some crazy miracle.
Right.
Where they would play a 7 or an 8 seed. But
the Badger score, that really surprises me. All right, so Gonzalez to kick off.
Yeah, it was another short one.
Short kick.
To Barnes again. This time he caught it with a running start, and he's all the way out near midfield.
He took it almost to midfield, carrying four people with him. At the 6:17 mark. They got to get something going now.
Yeah, obviously without seeing the game last week, you know, stats tell a story. Maybe they don't tell the whole story, but I did notice that Case, they really kept Bradford's offense in check last week, too. But
okay, they did, huh? Okay.
Bradford did find a way to put up 20 points and keep that game close into the fourth quarter, so Whatever breaks they were getting last week, they do not seem to be getting tonight, though.
All right, Rosales in the gun. He's got wideouts to the right and the left at the 50. Throws in the flat, complete to Jones.
About 7 yards. It's a good first down pickup. That's what they need because they've had a lot of 2 yards or less on first down. So.
The clock will go under 6 minutes. Rosales will bring him out. He's got wideouts again to the right and the left. Hands it off again, and he pushes his way. Still on his feet to the 39-yard line.
You know, it was Corbin Burrell Warfield. This time he took it from right up the gut instead of around the end.
What a name.
It was quite an attitude running had there.
Yeah.
Another 7 yards, though, and it moves the chains. That's what Bradford needs desperately.
That's what they needed. 5:30 and counting in our third quarter. I know they're not winning, Dan, but I am so impressed with Rosales for only being a sophomore.
Yeah, he's got a little moxie out there.
Yeah. And off again.
Ooh. It was Burrell Warfield on the carry. He got about 3 yards. He kind of got dragged around there at the end of the play a bit by Gonzalez.
And we're under five to play now. So it brings up 2nd and 7 at the 35-yard line of Case. They trail the Bradford Red Devils 21-0. .435 and counting. Rosales in the pistol. Throws it this time.
I was almost intercepted.
Almost.
Case, I think that was Tolan Johnson.
So it'll stop the clock with 4:18 to go.
That was really similar to the last time that Case got the interception where Bradford had what they wanted. The receiver had a step on the outside, and Rosales just didn't have enough arm to get it to him. That's about a 45-yard throw, and he is throwing across the field a little bit. But, yeah, it was there for Bradford, and then and Case almost came up with the interception.
All right, it stops the clock with 4:18 to go. 3rd and 7. At the 35-yard line of Case. Rosales, once again, in the pistol. Throws. Intercepted! Intercepted again by Case. And he takes it to about the 43-yard line.
So Michael Farr. Rosales threw it there. Somebody from Case kind of undercut the route, and I think it distracted the receiver just enough. The ball went off the receiver's hands and popped up in the air, and Michael Farr was the beneficiary.
Well, I hope you two are taking notes because I haven't mentioned it yet. Stick around after a conclusion of our ball game. Well, Dylan will be on the field to present our DG Sports Player of the Game. Still got a quarter to go, though.
Update from Horlick Field. Was it Max Contreras with a 38-yard field goal for Racine Lutheran? They are up 24-8 on Academy of Science with, I think, about 7.5 minutes to go in the third quarter.
Okay, so the two teams we were thinking about are going to be the ones to advance are winning. There was the handoff from LaPerry to midfield. 40, 30. Down to about the 26-yard line.
Got a late flag here, Dick.
It was Malachi Eccles on the run.
Eccles on the carry.
It's a 31-yard gain as of right now, but we do have a hold on Case. So
it's coming back.
If they're marking it from the spot of the flag, it's still going to be about a 7-yard gain. And it'll set up the odd to say 1st and 4 or 5 here.
Yep. 10 yards. So 3:58 to go in our third quarter. He chops that clock in.
Very long third quarter.
Yep. You don't have to tell me that, Dylan. All right, LaPerry in the gun. He's got wideouts to his right and left. Back to pass, throws in the flat. Ooh, right there to meet him.
And intended for Liggins there.
Yep.
But huge defensive play by Danny Miner breaking that up.
So it'll stop the clock with 3:28 to go.
Officials timeout here. They're respotting the ball.
Yeah, first. Any reason why they would do that, Dylan?
Maybe they placed it at the wrong spot within the field. I'm not too sure.
Okay. All right, LaPerry in the gun. Wide outs right and left. He goes back to pass again.
He hits Michael Farr over the middle there
for a first down, that's what.
Yeah, it's good. With about a 10-yard gain,
yep.
So.
So they'll move the chains and start the clock up again right away. Down to 3 minutes to go in our third quarter. 21-0, Case in the lead.
Eccles on the carry, and
yep. He's
going to pick up about 6 yards.
Boy, and you can see the Bradford Red Devils, they're gassed, their defense. They're running right through them now.
You know, the holes are definitely there where they
weren't
always earlier. Like I said, it's, you know, that's a multi-pronged attack that Case has out of the backfield.
Closing in on 2:30 to go in our third quarter. This time he rolls out, now throws. Got it. Gets it down to about the 8-yard line.
Yeah, we have a flag that went up right at the snap on the opposite side of the field.
Yep. So for DeBaker, it looks like it's not going to hold. So it stops that clock with 2:22 to go.
It's a procedure penalty there against Case. It'll be a 5-yard penalty. Looks like one of the receivers may have been lined up improperly or something like that, but it was against Case.
All right, LaPerry gets the play from the sideline. Referee chopped that clock, and again, I got to say, you know him, right, Dylan, the white hat?
Yes, sir.
Boy, does he chop that clock, and right away, LaPerry goes back to throw. Incomplete.
Intended for DeBaker over there, but he was hit just as the ball was coming into his mitts, and he dropped it on that far sideline.
It's a good throw, though. He got it in between the defenders right into DeBaker's hands. But
so 1:54 to go in our third quarter as the clock stops on that incompletion. So to bring up 3rd and 9 for LaPerry. Back to pass again. Throws out here.
Intercepted.
Intercepted down the sideline. 50, 40, 30. He may go 20, 10. Touchdown. Touchdown for the Red Devils.
It's Lorenz Pratt with about a 65-yard pick six.
And just like that, we talked about it, they had to get something going. They exist 21-7. We're back where it's only a 14-point deficit. Boy, he had that one all the way. Read his eyes, and that was it.
Excuse me, that is just what the doctor ordered for Bradford there.
Here's a snap. The kick is up. And the kick is good.
Oh, no. They actually ruled it no good.
No.
Wow.
Okay.
It looks good from here. I don't know.
All right. Well, it looked good here.
Yeah, this is always a tough angle, though, because that ball sails past the trying to discern which side it's on. I thought it was good, too, personally, but it's not my call that matters, like I said before.
Right.
That's why they get paid the big bucks.
1:44 to go, 21-6.
Dick,
go ahead.
Sorry, Reedsburg goes down and scores once again. They've really taken over here in the second half, and it looks like Waterford's day and season may be coming to an end.
Yep. Still a good year for them.
I think they're kind of rebuilding a little bit this year, trying to get things going, building that program still under the new head coach.
Right.
He was the interim last year, and just trying to get things continued forward over there at Waterford.
Yeah, I know they moved Caden Dessart out to quarterback early in the season, or out from quarterback to wide receiver early in the season, and they put a sophomore in there. So,
and Caden actually scored here tonight, one of the Waterford touchdowns, so still making an impact out there on the field.
All right, so the Red Devils to kick it back off to Case. There's a kick. Fielded. And brings it up to about the 26, 27-yard line.
That was freshman Nicholas Payne on the return.
So Payne getting in. I wonder if he's related to the Payne that played at Park High School, the quarterback.
Nick Payne? Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah. Called his name a few times. So we got 1:38 to go in our third quarter, 21-6 now. The pick six by the Bradford Red Devils, but we thought the extra point was good from our angle here, but it was not. So it's at 21-6. LaPerry hands it off. And coming to the side is Eccles. So he goes out of bounds to stop it with 1:33 to go in our third quarter.
Dick, Badger getting some motivation at halftime. It's now 28-7 with 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. So they were not taking lightly to that 14-7 lead at the half.
I was just going to say, watch them come out and just explode.
It is what they do, although although maybe someone had it on, had our broadcast on in the locker room and they heard what you said, Dylan.
All right, handoff there from LaPerry.
Yeah, I commented last week I would love to compare Badger's second half stats against their opponents because it seems like they just blow everybody out after halftime.
All right, 1:25 and counting. Handoff again, trying to get that first down. Eccles. And they should.
Oh, we got a flag from.
Yeah, this is going to be after the play. A little bit of unnecessary roughness there by one of the O linemen, tossing the Bradford player to the ground. So the first down should count, but it'll be after the play. The coaches are now consulting with Bradford to see what they want to do. Or the referees, I should say.
And then we'll get this one, get this third quarter over with.
It's only 9 o'clock, Dick. We got plenty of time.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Curfew's not for a while yet, yep. So.
Next week is the week you should be concerned about with that level 2 game on Halloween night.
Oh, yeah. So are we wearing costumes next week? Or,
No, Dylan has. All right, so 1st and 10 at the 27-yard line of Case. As we close in on a minute to go, throws it in the flat, complete, up to the 40. And gets it to midfield and gets thrown out of bounds. It complete to Farr.
Gotta say, I'm a bit surprised we didn't see a flag come out there.
Me too. WRJN in Racine and WZTI in Greenfield.
Nailed it.
I think we might have saved the Bradford.